spiritual father, Lord God. Hallelujah. And that as we align properly and submit and yield properly, Lord God, that we'll be able to be strong and do exploits in the land. And Father, as always, I thank you for the Holy Spirit showing up and empowering me, because otherwise, Lord God, I'd fall flat on my face. And I thank you right now. I acknowledge him, and I thank you, Lord God, for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. I looked at some of the test results, and everybody did well. Everybody did well, you know, and that was a blessing. I thank God for that. But what we're going to be doing today, we're going to actually, it's going to appear like we're taking a turn because of what Dr. Leroy Jr. Shared with me several years ago. He says, I want you not only just to teach in the area of honor, but he put a book in my hand, and I'm going to spell the author's name. This is just supplement. Don't have to get it. It wasn't in your book, you know, agenda. But the name of the book is called Overcoming Pride. And the author, I'm going to spell his first name because I'll destroy it. That's G-U-I-L-L-E-R-M-O. And then the last name is Maldonado, M-A-L-D-O-N-A-D-O. You don't have to get it. We'll probably be working out of this book for the next maybe two class sessions, possibly three. But we're going to be dealing with one of the major enemies that causes people not to walk in honor, and that is pride. And we're going to be dealing with the terminology that up to about 7 years ago was completely new to me. And that's called the spirit of Leviathan. The biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride, which takes its roots in what the author calls the spirit of Leviathan. And we're going to go straight to the Bible because I want to show you where that is in Scripture. Turn with me to the book of Job, Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41. And we're going to be reading a few passages in Job where he addresses the spirit of Leviathan, which actually is pride. But what I want to point out in these scriptures is how Leviathan is described as some type of sea monster, figuratively, and has strong scales, a strong neck, and how when a person gets involved and let pride becomes a part of their makeup, it's hard for them to bend. It's hard for them to turn because it's almost like if you could imagine a boa constrictor squeezing you and not letting you go. Pride is kind of like that. And that's why we need to know how to number one, defeat the spirit of pride with the word of God and the spirit of God, and not allow pride to become a part of our lives, because it will cause us not to walk in the spirit of honor. Okay, Job chapter 41, we're going to start at verse 1. It says, can't thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? In other words, if you're fishing, can you pull him out to sea with a hook, with a cord, or you know, a line that you cast down? Verse 2, canst thou put a hook into his nose and bore his jaw through with a thorn? You know, it's telling you, can you do all of this? But then it goes on, we're going to skip down to verse 15. It says, his scales are his pride, shut up together as with a closed seal. So his scales are his pride. And if you think about a fish, and even it uses the illustration, the amplified, of a crocodile having a hard shell or a hard outer structure. The analogy is how strong a grip and how you just can't break through it on your own when pride begins to be a part of your life. It goes on to say in verse 16, one is so near to the other, it's talking about the scales, that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered or separated. Let's go down to verse 22. Now, this is talking about the spirit of Leviathan, which is pride. In his neck remained its strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. In other words, his neck, you ever heard that though? In the Bible, it talks about stiff-necked people. Those, you know, imagine a person whose neck won't bend. You know, in other words, they're fixed in what they want to do, and you can't change their mind. You can't soften them up. You can't, because they're so wrapped up or have something that's gripping them so much until they can't even turn. They can't be bent. Verse 23, the flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves, and they cannot be moved. Verse 24, his heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of nethered millstone. And that's something that's really hard. You just can't crack it in the natural. And we're going to go down now to verse 33. Upon the earth there is none like he who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. Talking about the spirit of Leviathan. Okay, I'm going to read some excerpts from the book. As I stated, the biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride, which takes its roots in what the author calls the spirit of Leviathan. And Leviathan, well, you see it in your Bible, it's spelled L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N. The word Leviathan is found in the Bible, and also even in Isaiah 27 and 1. It says, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked or corked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So here's talking about the Lord coming against that spirit of Leviathan. What is Leviathan, or the spirit of Leviathan? God describes in Job a sea monster-like creature called Leviathan, which is pride. To reveal to Job the problem that he had was pride. There is a strong evil spirit named Leviathan. Leviathan is an evil and demonic spirit, and that spirit is pride. In Strong's, it talks about Leviathan being a withered animal or serpent or a large sea monster. The nations of the world are consumed by the dragon or the sea monster looking demon. This sea monster, known as and represented as the spirit of pride, this evil demonic spirit of pride manipulates, controls the masses in the world through the sin of pride. Job 41 and 34 says, and behold, we read that, behold all high things. Now, in the Amplified, it actually uses the word pride. It says, behold all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. Of all the beasts, he is the proudest. He reigns supreme over the pride of the earth. Pride, and I've seen it in operation over the years, and that's why it's so very important to stay yielded, to stay humble, and walk in honor, because the one thing you never want to do is to cause yourself to be lifted up with pride. A good friend of mine in ministry, he's a member of the church, matter of fact, on staff. One of the things he shared with me years ago, he said, Brother Calhoun, said, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. Never exalt yourself above measure. Because when you begin or even let people exalt you, I mean, sure, somebody will say, you know, you're a blessing. I thank God for you. And I always say, just give all the glory to God. I, just like Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that grace I don't take in vain, but without him, I can do nothing, you know, and when you always give God the glory, give God the praise, you know, for any good thing that might be in you, You're giving him back what he has bestowed upon you. And so there's no room for pride and arrogance and haughtiness to become a part of your life. Because once that happens, now you're allowing Satan to lift you up above measure. The Bible says never to think of ourselves higher than we ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, thinking soberly, not high-minded. And we're going to get into high-mindedness. We're going to get into arrogance and how all of those things affect us, are hindrances for us for walking in honor. Many people fall prey to Satan's temptation and get trapped into the spirit of pride, which is in most cases renders them incapable of getting back up and hinders them from walking in honor. Because the spirit of pride is so deeply rooted in their hearts, or I want to say their souls, Leviathan, like a serpent, twists himself around a person's heart or their soul and makes it so callous and so cold and so hard, causing them not to walk in honor. You know, so you know, these are some things that the spirit of pride will do. Pride will keep you from getting back into your position and keep you out of alignment to what God has called you to do and keep you outside the will of God for your life. Never to walk in the true blessing that Jesus has provided for you because of being so tightly wrapped and called around you. I'm trying to think of a good illustration. I've seen situations where people, for whatever reason or another, got bitter, began to walk in strife, began to walk in contention, and never got that straight, never got that resolve, never released it and let it go. And it's just like I said, one of the best illustrations I can get is like a large boa constrictor just continually tightening it up on you. And the more you struggle, the tighter it gets. And that's how pride, if you don't know how to deal with it, and if you don't know how to release it and allow the Spirit of God to break that fierce Leviathan creature from basically is he comes with the thoughts, and it encalls you, and it keeps you, it actually keeps you from walking in the wisdom of God. Because we'll see how actually Satan pride began during Satan's fall, and we're gonna get to that in a few minutes. Pride will disguise itself or disguise itself in many forms. Now here it is. It will manifest itself and hide behind these forms so you cannot recognize its hold on you. Some of these are anger, arrogance, contention, disobedience, independence, having an independent spirit, lying, witchcraft, perfectionism, always everything just got to be perfect, you know, a rebellion, a person with a rebellious spirit, vanity. Divination, rejection, bitterness, malice, envy, strife, hardness of heart, all of these things, when you see a person operating in these things, pride is the root cause of it. Pride will be the root cause of it. They might have an independent spirit where they like to work independently. They don't believe in working as a team, as one man. But pride has its roots in that, because somewhere they think that I can do it better than everybody else. I don't need their input. I'm complete all by myself. You know, or a person who has a walking in disobedience. You know, they're walking in disobedience because somewhere along the line pride has gripped them and caused them now to not want to submit properly and not want to follow orders, follow divine protocol. That's pride. And they'll walk in disobedience because of it, and pride will grip them. You know, some of the other things I say, like hardness of heart and over-inflated ego. You know, I used the terminology, a person with an overinflated ego, their head just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because they think too much of themselves. You know, over jealousy is also, you know, another attribute of pride. Let me move on here. Pride won't let you go back after you make a mistake or say that you're wrong about a thing or walk into strife towards somebody else. It's not going to, you know, when there's contention between individuals, pride will keep you on your defense instead of come and say, hey, I love you, I'm sorry, I repent. You know, pride will always say, I'm always right, I'm never wrong. You know, that's pride, amen? The opposite of pride is humility. Jesus was the ultimate example of godly humility. He always acknowledged and honored the Father. One of the things Jesus would say, I only do what I see the Father do. You know, and that's why I like the scripture in Galatians. You know, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. You know, knowing that it's not you that's doing the work, but it's him that's empowering you. And when you walk in that kind of humility, you can't help but walk in honor. Getting back to Jesus being the ultimate example of humility, the scripture that I want to use from that is from Philippians 2, and we've probably read it before, 2, 1 through 11, and I'm not going to read it all, but let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And then verse 8 said that Jesus found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. When that word humbled himself means he stripped himself. He stripped himself of all his glory. He took his crown and all his rings off his fingers. He took his royal robe and he stepped down from his seated position at the right hand of the throne of God and became just like a man, you know. And because of his ultimate, I won't even call it a sacrifice of humility, but his obedience and walking in humility and humbleness like that, the Bible says how God exalted him. Not only did he exalt him, he highly exalted him and had given him a name above other. You see, when you take the low seat don't put yourself forward, the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. And so when you just walk in humble humility to your man and to your woman of God, serve with humility, just doing it because it's in your heart to serve. You know, God sees your heart and the honor will come because of the humbleness. Never think the word humble means weak. Humble you can't even put them in the same sentence, because humility or being humble basically means submitting your life to the will of God. When you humbly submit, you're saying, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? I submit my life, my talent, my abilities, whatever you have blessed me with, I want to use that to be a blessing to whomever you want me to use what you've given me with. That's total humility. And when you walk in that kind of humility, you can't help but walk in honor. Yeah. Those who walk in humility will be exalted, but those who walk in pride will be cast down or abased. The Message Bible says, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. That's what the Message Bible says out of Proverbs 16 and 18. It says, pride goeth before, King James says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. You know, and the Message Bible for that same verse says, first pride, then crash. The bigger the ego, the bigger the fall, the harder the fall. You know, pride will go before the fall. You know, so always remember that. All right, let me move on. This is, because we're not in the book, I'm going to kind of give you some markers of things that you need to remember. Pride, this is a definition of pride. Pride is an I'm going to use the actual book definition, and I'm going to give you why I want to say unreasonable. But to a person who's walking in pride, pride is a reasonable and justifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self or having a sense of being better than others. Having excessive self-esteem, considering oneself excessively dignified. One who depends on his own abilities and knowledge. A person who lives independently from God and others. And I'm going to read that again because you need that definition. Pride is a reasonable and justifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self or having a sense of being better than others. Having excessive self-esteem. Considering oneself excessively dignified. One who depends on his own abilities and knowledge. A person who lives independently from God and others. Okay, pride will make you think that you're the man, I'm it. It'll give you what you call an ultra ego. And I already quoted this verse of scripture. Paul says we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. That's Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God has given to every man the measure of faith. And then I also use the illustration, you know, always stay small in your own eyes. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about arrogance. Arrogance is a feeling or an impression of superiority, manifested in an overwhelming manner or presumptuous claim. It is the attitude of feeling superior and scorning others because of their intellectual level, their lack of aptitude or ability, their skin color, their native country, or any other excuse that might exalt a particular person above another. That's arrogant. A person who's just arrogant. They just put you down just because they think they're better. Whether it's because of a race, a nationality, an intellectual level, you know, person who are, you know, arrogant people, they, what's the word I want to use? They stuck on themselves. Bottom line. Arrogant people, they're stuck on themselves. Okay, haughty. It's another definition. A person who is haughty, having or showing an insulting attitude towards people, putting people down because you think think that you're better, smarter, and more important than other people. Those who are blatantly and disdainfully proud-minded. That's a haughty person. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness all run together. God resists arrogance and prideful people. He rejects them because he detests the sin of arrogance. Pride and arrogance are in essence the same in demonic nature because people with these attitudes are denying and disobeying the legitimate authority established by God. They do not believe in submitting to divine order. A person who's pride, who has pride and arrogance, they want to do things their own way. James 4:6 says, God resisted the pride, but he gives grace unto the humble. You know, the more I got into studying this years ago when the book was given to me, the more I recognize how you have to daily kind of check yourself. Am I doing or saying things or giving people the impression that I'm more than who I really am? Because even at the same time, not allowing compliments and accolades get to your head, but staying humble so that God can use you. You know, Moses, the Bible says, was the meekest man on the face of the earth. But Moses obeyed God, you know. The one time he didn't, when Apostle mentioned him, when he struck the rock, God had to place him aside. But he had a son in the wing that he brought up and led the children of Israel, you know. But humility, you know, is the key to walking in the power and to walk in honor. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But when you walk in pride, you will block yourself from receiving revelation knowledge because of no reverence for God or no fear of God. You then now start to believe a lie, you know, and you can't even see the truth. I've seen people, even in leadership positions, for whatever reason, they might have gotten sat down or they might have didn't get what they thought they deserved or came to them. And instead of letting it go, there was a scripture. I passed it up. I saw it. Let me go back to it. Oh, where is it, Lord? John 20 and 23. It says, whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Let me read it from the Bible because I got it written here, and I want to make sure I quote it right. That's John 20 and 23. Looking at my time. Okay, 20 and 23. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are. Whoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto you, and whoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You know, you have to let things go. That's what this scripture is saying. Don't, even if somebody wronged you, and you might have been in the right, release them, let them go. Don't harbor that thing, because when you start to harbor it and keep it on the inside, you're allowing the spirit of pride to begin to manifest itself. Because, you know, either the arrogance or the anger or the strife or the envy or whatever, you know, all of those things I talked about earlier, one of them is going to try to manifest itself to cause you now to let Leviathan or to let pride grip you and keep you from fulfilling the will of God for your life. Okay, let me move on. What the Bible says about pride. Proverbs 21 and 4. A high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. A high look. A high look means that you're looking up and you're looking down on people. A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 16 and 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's heavy. Everyone proud in heart, that's Proverbs 16 and 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. These are the consequences when you walk in pride. You expose yourself to the curse because of your allowing that evil spirit of Leviathan to take his grip upon your life. All right, let me move on. Proverbs 29 and 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold him. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold him. You know, honor will always uphold you, but pride will bring you low. And you see, that's where the difference is. Those two are on two different ends of the spectrum. When you walk in honor, you walk in humility, you know, you walk in servitude, you walk in yieldingness. But when you walk in pride, you walk in arrogance, you walk in haughtiness, envy, strife, jealousy, malice, you know, and they're on two opposite ends of the spectrum. And we need to make sure with all the gusto in us that, Lord, because the Bible says here, if it was pride, well, let me read this first. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. When you take those three, pride, arrogance, and the definitions I gave you, and also haughtiness, those three together basically make up the spirit of Leviathan, which is the root of all sin. Leviathan, the root of all sin, and I'm going to get to that. We're going to talk a little bit about Satan and his fall when he was Lucifer. It was pride that caused Satan to rebel against God in heaven. For his prideful act of rebellion, he was cast out of heaven. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17 says, there are six things that the Lord hates. The seventh is an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Ezekiel 28 and 17 is talking about Satan's fall. And I'm not sure if this is the Amplified version or not, but it says, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. And when you look up the word beauty, it's talking about your beauty, your position, your talent, your gifting, your ability. Satan's heart was lifted up because of his beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Because of Satan's arrogance and wanting to be God, pride was the root of his fall, because he let his heart be lifted up because of the beauty. He led the worship in heaven. And I've heard stories of how music proceeded out of him, because he led worship. And instead of staying in his position, being, you know, right there, essentially, you know, in the presence of God, he wanted to be God. And because of that pride, it caused him to fall. All right. When you walk in pride, you block yourself from receiving wisdom from God because you have corrupted your wisdom. And that's what Satan basically did. He corrupted his wisdom because of his brightness. Pride will corrupt you, give you a good illustration. And everybody's familiar with computers. Pride is almost like a virus. You know, if you get a virus on a computer, it'll sneak in there some kind of way, or you click on a site that you know, and it'll introduce a Trojan horse, and it'll corrupt all your wisdom files. And so you're not going to be able to walk in the wisdom of God. You won't be able to hear God's voice clearly because that corrupt file is getting its grip on you. So you don't want that to happen. Let me move on. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. A prideful and arrogant person is weak and easily falls into temptation. Each time a person allows pride and arrogance to creep in, it reminds God of the rebellion caused by Satan in heaven. Pride, if not checked, can become contagious. You know, well, I mean, if you see it in a congregation or a person, you got to check it, or you got to deal with it and get rid of it, because it becomes contagious. When Lucifer fell, he took one-third of the angelic host with him. You know, it was one person who operated in pride, but he convinced one-third of the angelic host, and they fell with him. When Korin, who stood against Moses and his company, they were swallowed up. I don't know how many people that was, but he came against Moses because he said, does God speak only to Moses? You know, why can't God speak through me or somebody else? No, God always chooses a man, And that's what that's why it's so important, and we're seeing a reinsurgence of the apostolic coming back into the kingdom of God, so that divine order can flow freely and people can align properly, so that the power of God can manifest itself in its full-blown magnitude, so we can see the glory like we saw in the church service yesterday. Because of proper alignment. That couldn't happen if there was pride and arrogance and haughtiness in the congregation. It couldn't happen, you know. But when people are flowing together, God is now able to move. Amen. 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Okay, let me move. Okay, we talked about Satan, and we know about, you know, the fall, so I'm not going to get into that. Pride says, why can't I do it my way? Why do I have to submit to your way? Prideful people have an independent spirit. We are descendants of Adam and therefore easily affected by pride. This is why Leviathan is so strong, powerful, and deeply rooted in an unrenewed mind. The fascination with the forbidden or strange or something, you know, getting back when Eve was tempting, Adam and Eve were tempting in the garden, they, instead of just doing what God told them to do, staying with divine apostolic order, they were drifted and they were turned by a deception, by a lie. And by doing so, they end up sinning and getting cast out of the garden. You know, because with Lucifer, because he couldn't reign, now, because God made man in his own image and after his own likeness and put man in the garden to tend and to have dominion and to subdue the earth, Satan now, through the deceptiveness of pride, because he said, you know, the tree is to make you wise and that you be like gods. But what they didn't understand was they already were like God. They were made in his image. And in Psalms 8, it says, what is this man that thou art so mindful of him? And the son of man that thou didst visit in him? You know, God had already made man just a shade lower than himself. But Satan deceived him. I see you. Thank you. And that caused the fall of Adam and Eve. All right, let me move on. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly and wholeheartedly and acknowledge and submit to spiritual authority, divine order, or walk in a spiritual covenant. I'm going to read that again. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly and wholeheartedly or acknowledge and submit to the spirit, to spiritual authority, divine order, are the spirit, our spiritual covenant. Okay, I will at the end. Thank you. All right. A major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone whom they consider less knowledgeable or who have served less time in ministry than them. And that's why, you know, one thing I've learned, when I understand spiritual authority, I learn how to flow in it. Whoever God puts over me, it doesn't matter. I'm going to submit. Amen? All right, with the last 20 seconds, I'm gonna reiterate the name of the book. The name of the book is Overcoming Pride, for those who came online late. And the author, I'm gonna spell his name, Guillermo. That's the first name. And Maldonado, Maldonado. And my time is out. Amen. And we're gonna continue next week. Maybe two more sessions on pride and how pride is so devastating and how it's diametrically on the other end of the spirit of honor. Amen.